Hello, salutations. Well, welcome to this edition of Four Past Thinking Audio Content. I'm your host, as always, Jonders. I'm joined by my good buddy, my co-host, Kyle Windhorn. Kyle Windhorn, say hi.
Hi, everybody.
I'm also joined by Eric Jensen. Eric Jensen, is this also an episode of End Zone Podcast?
Yes, this will be a, if that's okay with you, this will be
fine.
A double
Hello,
edition.
Hello, salutations all. Welcome to the End Zone Podcast. I'm not your host, as always, Jonders. Eric Jensen.
Well, I thought we could use it. I thought we were going to use it for both.
Okay, I mean, whatever. I mean, this intro is like, hey, you know what's interesting about the trade deadline? Nothing. What happened? Kyle, can we get your thoughts? What happened?
You know how exciting it is? It is so exciting that I put my newborn son in the sleep. That's how exciting this trade deadline was. It is a snooze fest. We had a trade today that was basically a cap movement of Aqib Talib, and that was really kind of the extent of the excitement. Leonard Williams going to the going over to Giants across the hallway from the Jets to the Giants. Doesn't really matter to me. The Giants aren't a playoff team this year, so boring trade deadline, in my opinion.
Hey, Eric, who had a worse day? Aqib Talib traded to the Dolphins, or Andy Dalton sat on his birthday?
Oh, is today Andy Dalton's birthday?
Yeah, today is Andy Dalton's birthday, and he was benched.
Yeah, we're rougher for old Andy. Listen, Aqib Talib is at the point of his career where he has a Super Bowl ring. He's got some accolades. He's been paid way more money than he could ever hope for. And now he gets to go finish out his career in Miami, which is like, who wouldn't want, if you're an honest question, if you're at the end of your career and they just trade you to Miami and you're suddenly on a team that doesn't care and you can just party in Miami for the rest of the year, that's pretty cool, I think.
I'd rather go to New England, I'll tell you that much.
So I think Andy had a rougher day.
Eric, you kind of started something on the NFL Twitter sphere with your theory that the Bengals should trade the Bears and give up the rights to Andy Dalton. I saw that picked up by a couple people today. How disappointed that you're not a seer? You're not from the future. You did not call this one.
Yeah, I didn't call this one. I wanted to ask you this, actually, and this kind of comes to one of my questions I had today. What do Bears fans think of Ryan Pace?
That's interesting.
Because I would argue he hasn't really done anything as their GM except trade away all their draft picks for one really good defensive player and pick a quarterback who he is basically at this point conceding is a bust.
Oh, he's definitely a bust. Here's what I think. When he got the job, I wasn't that sold on it. It was kind of coming off of New Orleans' worst period of the last decade, and that's, you know, the office he came from. He's kind of reminding me a lot of John Elway out in Denver, where he's more of a Madden GM than an actual GM. Like, I don't think I would have a problem doing trades and, you know, doing free agency. The draft is where I'd have a problem if I became an NFL GM, and that's where teams are built, and I don't think he's able to do that, and he showed that. He's traded away all of his top picks. He used the top pick on a quarterback bust when he could have gotten Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. I think there has to be some serious questions here in Chicago.
I would argue he has done some good things in the draft, though. That was the one good takeaway I had while watching the Bears on Game Pass this week was David Montgomery. That guy's a stud. And
I think he's a little bit of his own hype, though, because
he finally showed out Sunday. It was his first really like big performance of the year.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, though, this week, that he's a little bit of a victim of his own hype, where he was built up so much in the offseason. It was almost like he would never be able to, like, really live up to it. Hey, Kyle, are you still there?
Yep.
Okay.
Just had to take the video off. I was having connectivity issues.
All right.
Yeah, no. The world can only handle so much beauty, so.
Hey, Chase Edmonds was making hay for the Cardinals, and now they have Kenny and Drake. Kyle, can you talk about this from a fantasy perspective? Do you think everybody should go pick up Kenyon Drake now?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can right now because he's probably, I mean, if they go out and they go pick him up, the thing with the Cardinals' backfield is that they're really beat up, but I'm still not completely sold on this offensive line in Arizona. I was kind of hoping they'd be one of the teams that would have made a play on Trent Williams with a young quarterback like Kyler Murray to go get him some protection. Just the trade never materialized today, so hopefully they make a move in the offseason. But Kenyon Drake, I mean, a decent running back, but he's going to a Cardinals offense that when David Johnson comes back healthy, which I would expect him to be back in a week, maybe two. I think his carries get considerably diminished because David Johnson, quite frankly, is the better running back in this backfield.
Eric, Trent Williams reports to the Washington Orange Skins. What do we think about this? Do you think this is going to help their development of Dwayne Haskins, or does this help out at all, or is it just people running around as the Titanic sinks?
Well, to me, it's almost like his entire holdout was completely pointless. Because why?
He has to report at some point, or it doesn't count as a recruit year against his. It has to do with the tags. So he has to report before a certain date, or it doesn't count as a year, and he would have to before he can make free agency. So if he needs to report before a certain week, or he would not get
his
that
contract
year.
Well,
yeah,
otherwise.
I'm going to defer to Kyle because he's the one that knows this stuff better than I do.
Yeah, so he is a multi-year pro, so he's not a restricted free agent, similar to where you could use the franchise tag and all of that. But what would happen with him is he needs to play by a certain date, or needs to report to duty by a certain date. Otherwise, his contract won't toll a year. So it was the same issue that people had with Le'Veon Bell last year. The only exception with him is he was on the franchise tag. But typically, you have to report. You have to have 6 eligible weeks of play, or be eligible on the active roster for 6 weeks in a year for your contract to toll. So he was getting close to the deadline. He actually had a little bit longer. It was kind of that he could have waited and held out. But if he was going to report back, they weren't going to trade him unless he was going to report back to the team, was my understanding of the situation.
All right. Well, in that case, I feel like this move doesn't make a ton of difference. It is now on Trent Williams to play basically otherworldly football if he wants the insane value he wants in free agency. So I just think that as far as the team building aspect goes, I think you have to start Dwayne Haskins now. Now that you have a better offensive line, at least, you have got to throw Dwayne Haskins in there and see what you have, because it is likely that you are going to have a top 5 pick in a quarterback heavy draft in the next year. So I think it's good for the football watching public, because it means that we might get to see Dwayne Haskins a little bit sooner. I hope they name him as the starter over the next 2 weeks here.
I don't think playing or not playing actually for Trent Williams is really going to make much of a difference. 31-year-old tackles who's got a lot of the prime of his career left, 7-time Pro Bowler. I mean, if he hits the open market, whether he plays this year or not, there's a severe lack of good offensive linemen in the league. Specifically ones that hit free agency. He's going to get paid one way or another, I think, this offseason. I just think he's going to play for a dysfunctional organization like the Redskins, and I don't blame him.
He'll get all the money he wants over the next 3 years. Yeah, there is such a dearth at that position. He is such a – I mean, he's a future Hall of Famer, I think. So he'll get whatever he wants. Hey, something that me and Kyle haven't touched upon yet on Forward Pass Thinking, you may have touched upon on the End Zone podcast, is wide receivers being traded to undefeated teams. The 49ers get Emmanuel Sanders from Eric's Denver Broncos there, and the New England Patriots get Muhammad Sanu. I would like you – can we do – I'm going to flip a coin. This is what we're going to do. Me and Kyle used to do a bit called Manufacture Debate, and maybe we should bring it back. But I'm going to – wait, no. How do we do this? I'm going to flip a coin. And, Kyle, you call it in the air. So call it.
Heads.
It's heads. Okay. So now Kyle gets to pick – which one he wants to our debate for. who will help the team more? Will Emmanuel Sanders help the 49ers more, or will Mohamed Sanu help the Patriots more? Give me your answer, not your debate.
Emmanuel Sanders, hands down.
Okay, Eric, I want you to argue first that Mohamed Sanu will help the Patriots more.
Well, I think it's clear that Mohamed Sanu is going to help the Patriots more because he's got the better quarterback. Emmanuel Sanders is a good wide receiver, true, but Mohamed Sanu is one of the most underrated targets in the NFL. His workload was really cut into in Atlanta by the emergence of Calvin Ridley. But before Calvin Ridley got there, people forget he was kind of the true number two wide receiver on that team the year they went to the Super Bowl in the Kyle Shanahan offense. Now he joins the Josh McDaniels offense. And Tom Brady, who is playing the quarterback position at a much higher level, I believe, than Jimmy Garoppolo right now, I think it's clear that Mohamed Sanu is going to have a bigger impact. For as good as of a player as Emmanuel Sanders is, Sanders may be the better player, but I think Sanu is going to have more of an impact because he simply has better parts around him.
Okay. All right. Kyle, now make your argument.
Emmanuel Sanders gives San Francisco something they truly didn't have, and that's a bona fide number one wide receiver. Emmanuel Sanders wanted to get out of Denver. He wants to be in San Francisco. This is a great fit for him in a Kyle Shanahan offense. It's going to really help develop, similar to a guy that was actually in a Kyle Shanahan offense, Mohamed Sanu. Sanu comes in as clearly the number two receiver behind Julian Edelman, even potentially maybe behind some of the running backs on that offense in New England. I think that he comes in, he already made an immediate impact this weekend against a pretty good Panthers defense at home. They didn't need him because they were up so much early in the game and they were running the ball really well with Tevin Coleman. This is a great piece for them to add to a team where Jimmy Garoppolo needs some weapons. And frankly, we haven't seen Jimmy Garoppolo's full potential yet because he hasn't had them.
Time. Okay. I would have liked to have Eric say something about Mohamed Sanu's passing ability. I think that would have really put him over the top. Kyle, you know, we're good buddies. You're a nice guy. But Eric wins this one. Eric wins the wide receiver manufacturer debate. Congratulations,
Let's
Eric.
Go. Let's go. Let's go.
I think that's all we have from the trade deadline, unless you want to step into the host chair here, Eric.
Yeah, let's talk about trades that didn't happen.
Okay.
And I want to talk specifically about the New York Jets. Because I think what we learned today at the trade deadline is that there are right now in the NFL four truly terribly run franchises that will, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if they have smart owners, be making changes at either GM or head coach or both over the next year. And I want to talk about all four of them. Starting with the Jets. The Jets have gone from off-season hype darlings to looking okay in week one, to losing their quarterback to mono, to beating the Cowboys, to being blown out on national TV, and then getting run out of the Jaguars building, basically.
Yeah.
To today, saying we are accepting phone calls. I don't care if they're calling or not. They accepted a phone call for Jamal Adams. That is just a terrible look for that franchise, in my opinion. Like, how can you even acknowledge that? Like, sure, they say here's three first-round picks for Jamal Adams. You've got to listen, but it doesn't sound like the Cowboys were offering that, and how do you let that get out of your building?
Jamal Adams was clearly upset about it on Twitter, too.
And Like, this is a guy that has gone to bat for your franchise multiple times, who keeps sticking with it. And today, in my opinion, within the next year, I firmly believe Jamal Adams and Le'Veon Bell will not be on the Jets. Wow. Because they set it up today, and even though nothing happened today, it's out there so that when the Cowboys are this close to winning a Super Bowl this year because they lose last second in the divisional round or something like that, they're going to go out and Jerry's going to say, screw it, I'm going to throw 3 first-round picks at you for Jamal Adams. Oh, and maybe throw in a few more for Robbie Anderson. And the Cowboys are going to snap up Jamal Adams, or some team, or the Ravens, or somebody is going to snap up Jamal Adams, and they're going to fly to a championship because the Jets have basically, by letting this out of their building, have basically said, we don't want you. This is your best player by far. What are you doing if you're New York?
It makes no sense. Well put. Do you want to move on to our trick or treat segment?
No. Well, I have more bad teams, I'd like to get you guys' kind of thoughts on that.
I mean, Kyle, what do you want to say, Kyle?
In regards to the Jets?
And Jamal Adams and the leak that he was put on the trade market.
And you can throw in Le'Veon Bell if you want.
Yeah, I think it's this is a team that made all these big splashy plays this offseason that we thought was going to be a playoff team. And then Sam Darnold gets a case of the kissing disease of mono, ridiculed Monday Night Football for seeing ghosts, which I love that the Jags trolled him, by the way, this weekend. That was pretty funny.
Jacksonville's is a first-rate NFL mascot.
No kidding. To me, this is another example of an Adam Gase situation that's gone south in a very fast fashion. Now, they do have a pretty easy schedule coming up the next couple weeks. The narrative could change over the next 3 to 4, where I think they could win their next 4. That's just not a good look, though, for the locker room. If you have Jamal Adams, arguably your best defender and arguably one of your best players outside of maybe Le'Veon Bell on the team, not a good look for the organization that's trying to get some kind of a cadence going in that locker room and on the field. So,
You bring up Adam Gase, and I mean, he might be one and done in New York, and I mean, the shellacking he took against the Patriots on Monday Night Football a couple weeks ago is going to be hard for ownership to get out of their mind. Unless Sam Darnold shows real improvements over the course of the next 10 weeks, I think he's gone. So when you're making moves like putting Jamal Adams or Le'Veon Bell on the trade block, it's with what coach do you see this? Are you trying to go the Sean McVay route where you want to give all these first? Well, no, that's not even the Sean McVay route. I don't even know what the Jets just don't seem to have a plan.
They should have been trading away players. They should have been trading for players, I guess, is my thing. They should have gone after Trent Williams to help protect Darnold. I mean, they made some plays this offseason to try and do that. Their O-line can't block. It's bad. Maybe one of the worst.
But then Adam Gase is complaining about the roster and how much money that C.J. Mosley's getting. And it's – why is he – I don't know.
They need help on the offensive line. Something fierce.
And I'm just going to flex really quick. I'm taking a college-level English seminar class right now, and I've been learning to do a lot of what they call close reading, where you look for, quote, the deeper meaning. I'm looking at the deeper meaning on this. The fact the Jets basically said, you can have our best player, what does that say about what they believe in Sam Darnold? Do they believe they have a franchise answer in Sam Darnold? Because personally, I think that less than 17 full games of Sam Darnold, which is what we've gotten at this point, that is not a fair enough sample size to determine whether a quarterback is your franchise star or not. And I would argue he's shown enough that he deserves more time. I just don't understand to me, this move says we are willing to give up on Sam Darnold. Why?
I mean, unless they don't like what they're seeing, what they're in the building. But go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, I disagree. I think you made a really great point. 17 games of Sam Darnold at this point. I mean, if that's the argument there, are we saying that the Browns have given up on Baker Mayfield?
The Browns aren't looking to trade their best player at the trade deadline. They are not looking to basically admit that they are ready to completely tear down their team by shopping their best offensive player in Le'Veon Bell and their best defensive player in Jamal Adams. The Browns are not doing that. The Browns are standing pat and saying we believe in Baker Mayfield and we are going to wait a year or two and see if this pans out. The Browns have showed a vote of confidence in Baker Mayfield. The Jets have shown a vote of utter incompetence isn't a word.
More than anything with the ownership. This organization is being run almost as well as the Washington Redskins, and that's at least the Dolphins, I feel like, have a plan. They're acquiring draft picks and acquiring draft capital. I feel like the Dolphins are more well run in this situation than these two organizations.
Although it doesn't make sense that they picked up Aqib Talib, but that's a different story.
Well, it does. I would argue the Aqib Talib trade makes sense because they put Xavien Howard on IR. Howard
need a warm body.
Yeah, they need a warm body, and Aqib Talib's honestly, he has not played that well this year. He was not a difference maker on that Rams defense, I would argue.
Yeah, no, you're not going to get an argument from me. Let's move on. Let's do another one of your teams that are run awfully.
Yeah. These are two. Here are the two teams that aren't quite as surprising as the Jets, because everyone kind of knows their run this poorly. Is the Redskins and the Bengals? The Redskins, for obvious reasons, we don't really need to get into them. We talked about Trent Williams. But the Bengals.
Well, it's all about ownership, right? I mean,
right.
The reason the teams that aren't good are because of ownership. And the reason that the Patriots are good is because Robert Kraft is good at being an owner, you know?
That's true. And you can blame it all on the owner. I'm not arguing that. My major point more is to point out the major flaw within the Bengals. That is the fact that you benched your starting quarterback today, and it doesn't sound from reports from Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter like you even took calls for him. Like, Andy Dalton is a perfect trade chip because you could argue that in the right situation, he could lead a team to a conference championship or a Super Bowl. And I would argue that for a team that's almost there at quarterback like the Chicago Bears, you would have given up a second or what you think will be a low round first for Andy Dalton. And the fact that they didn't take trades for Dalton or AJ Green just shows the continued incompetence of ownership there.
Dalton would be an unrestricted free agent in 2021. He would hit your books at $17.7 million. Next year, I think that's a pretty... I mean, that's reasonable for a starting quarterback at this point. And a team like the Bears, if they... I don't know. Because I don't know about their books. Kyle is more of the guy to deal with this stuff. But...
And I want to provide what may be a hot take. I don't think I blame anything that has happened to the Bengals on Andy Dalton. I don't think he's played that badly this year. I think he's played like a league average quarterback.
Well, the Bengals gave up on Andy Dalton 2 years ago when they traded away Andrew Whitworth, and the offensive line hasn't been able to recover. AJ Green hasn't been out there this year. There's not enough talent around him. He finally has Eifert healthy for once, but It's weird that the Bengals have moved on from Andy Dalton. You're right. They've moved on from Andy Dalton as soon as they trade away Andrew Whitworth, but now they're not going to get any compensation for moving on from him.
All right. And then I want to make the pitch that the new most poorly run team in the NFL is my team, the Denver Broncos, because not only did you bench Joe Flacco under the poorly veiled excuse of a injury, I, for one, believe in no way, shape, or form that Joe Flacco is hurt. I don't believe it.
It's weird that you can hurt your neck by running your mouth.
Yeah, he spoke out against a coaching staff that deserved to be spoken out against, and he got benched, and now they're going to fake an injury for him to make sure he never sees the light of day again. And what the worst part of this is the fact that Brett Rypien, or whatever his name is going to be the backup instead of the guy you drafted in the second round in Drew Lock. I think that Drew Lock at this point needs to play because the Broncos are at this point are going to have a top five pick. Jonders, I have a theory, and you can look up the Broncos' schedule if you want. I think the Broncos don't win a single game for the rest of the year. This team's destined to go 2-14. The schedule is extremely tough the second half. The easy stretch of the schedule was over the past few weeks, and they weren't able to get any wins out of it. And I just it's time for John Elway to go. I've said it a million times. He's bad at his job. He's never been good at his job. He lucked into Peyton Manning. He didn't trade Chris Harris Jr. today or Derek Wolfe. They are both going to walk in free agency, and the Broncos will get nothing back for them. It is insanely hard to root for this team at this point in the franchise's history.
Yeah, you know, sometimes on bad teams, it's hard to tell if a quarterback is the reason why they're that bad or if they're the reason they're as good as they are. I point to Jay Cutler as an example when he was with the Bears. He, for a lot of the time, was the reason they were as good as they actually were. He wasn't the one holding the team back. He was actually lifting it up. That is not the case anymore in Chicago with Mitch Trubisky. He's holding that team back. But what I'm trying to get to here is that I'm unsure if Joe Flacco was helping the team or holding it back, but I think we're about to find out, and we might find out as soon as Sunday. They're playing the Browns in Mile High. If they gave the Colts a close game, I'm not sure why they can't give the Browns a close game, right? Kyle, weigh in here.
I would argue that Brandon Allen is not a good quarterback.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say, right?
I mean, I'm
entire argument. Hey, fun fact. I don't know if I mentioned this. I'm going to this game, actually.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so good on me. My hope to make this watchable, a blizzard is supposed to hit Denver at some point this weekend. I want to go to just, like, the snowiest of all snow football
games.
That's
a lot of fun, yeah. So we're hoping for snow. Hey, if that's your final bad team, I have a good segue into our trick-or-treat segment.
All right.
My first trick, I thought this player was going to have 20 touchdowns this year, if not more. I thought it was going to revolutionize the NFL.
Me too. I'm with you, buddy.
Odell Beckham, one touchdown on the year. He's been the NFL's biggest trick.
True that.
Kyle, say something. You still with us?
Oh yeah, I'm still with you. I'm soaking in that you're upset with Odell Beckham.
Upset with Odell Beckham. I'm disappointed in Baker Mayfield.
I did warn you that they would have a rough start to the season, though. That was the thing. Everybody buying in all the hype on the Cleveland Browns. They had a very tough schedule to start the season. I think they're going to rip off a couple of really easy wins here against bad teams. You'll see Odell, I think, rebound a little bit, but their issues stem from. It's Freddie Kitchens in way over his head. He's been the biggest trick as the expectations capped on them on the Browns and just the Browns brain trust. They're deciding to promote a guy to head coach that had been a positional coach for 6 months.
You know, Kyle, when you pitched this segment to me, I kind of forgot about the word tricks second meeting. And it's really, yeah, I don't know. Keep going. This is your segment, though, Kyle. What give us some of your tricks or treats.
Yeah, the scary, yeah, scary good, scary bad. The biggest trick, I guess, for me, or the biggest trick has been the 2018 quarterback draft class, specifically the first rounders, the exception of Lamar Jackson. So far, combined, pretty abysmal record. I think, what, 4 wins between all the 2018 first-round picks between Mayfield, Darnold,
whoa,
and...
Whoa, that can't be true, because Josh Allen was in my class, and Josh Allen has, like, 6 wins.
5, I think.
Okay, so it's... So, but either way, the early picks, I'm talking Baker Mayfield, I'm talking Sam Darnold, the two that were heralded as 1 and 2, or allegedly 1 and 2, right?
Josh Allen was a top 10 pick.
Josh Allen was a top 10 pick, so he's the exception proving the rule. But either way, Josh Rosen was a top, 12 pick as well? Basically three of those picks from the 2018 draft class are not looking very good this year. That is a scary, scary trick. Josh Rosen already on a second team. Looks like the Jets are a rudderless ship. And Cleveland sputtered out for the first half of the season. Baker leads the NFL in turnovers right now. So
Baker Mayfield broke my brain when he did that shovel pass right into Guy's belly. Did you guys see that play?
I did.
I'm not out on any of these guys yet.
I'm not saying these guys are busts. I'm just saying that's been the biggest trick so far for me of the season, not a treat.
I would argue Sam Darnold outside of the... I thought even in the Jags game, Sam Darnold played good.
He did this thing he does in every game where he forces the ball downfield. He's inaccurate. It's not a winning combination, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, I'm too invested in Baker to give up on Baker Mayfield. I'll be the first one to admit that. I'm just too invested in him being good I just want nothing more than the Browns to be good. So I can't give up on Baker, and I can't give up on Sam Darnold. Josh Allen started the year good, but has somehow regressed over like the past 2 weeks, weirdly. I haven't gotten a chance. Were they on bye this week, or did they have a game this week?
They got thumped by the Eagles, but I have not had
a chance to watch that game yet. So
they got thumped by the Eagles in their own house, and he's fumbled the ball now 8 times on the year. Now he's only lost 3 of them, but he's pretty loose with the football, which is to me that would be a concern going forward, especially for a team that has some playoff hopes.
I'll go with my trick. My trick would be, now bear with me, because I could go treat here, but I'm going to make it hard on myself. My trick is everyone's predetermined opinions on Jon Gruden, because I don't think they could be more wrong. Jon Gruden has put together a competent offense in Oakland. I just, the past 3 to 4 weeks, I have loved what I've seen out of the Oakland Raiders offense. Now, Derek Carr hasn't been great, but I'm of the belief that if Jon Gruden got some more pieces and maybe drafted a quarterback or traded for, say, Andy Dalton or somebody like that, that the Raiders could be a legit team in the next 2 to 3 years. They have a bad defense, but I think Josh Jacobs is great. I think Darren Waller's great. Tyrell Williams has been hurt. Let's hope he gets back healthy. I think Hunter Renfro's been okay. The Raiders overall have been a treat. I have completely done a 180 on what I think of Jon Gruden. I think he's a good coach.
I know Jon Gruden is a 500 coach. He'll end this year 8-8, and he'll be thanking Mike Mayock for picking Josh Jacobs for helping him get to that 8-8 record.
I think Jon Gruden long term is going to be fine.
He is a 500 coach throughout his career, and he'll retire a 500 coach. Knock on wood, if you're with me, Kyle.
No, I mean, a lot of coaches end up closer to 500 than you think, though. It's just the ones that we think that aren't, like Don Shula and Bill Belichick, who collected his 300th win. There's just a handful of really elite coaches, but there's a lot of coaches in this league who probably hover closer to 500 than you think.
I was actually looking at the numbers after all the hype about Bill Belichick's 300th win. I was looking at some of the numbers, and a lot of those coaching wins numbers surprised me. But that's a different time for a different day. I'm going to give my treat now. My treat, I was on the fence about two different ones, and but my treat, I think, is that Aaron Rodgers. This is going against what I want.
You took it.
You could take you it then. Then I'm going to take Bill Belichick being more heavily involved in play calling and coaching the defense, because we've seen that pay huge dividends. I just looked up the Buffalo Bills record, right? Because we were talking about that. They're 5-2. But the point here is that the Patriots are points for 250, points against 61. So in their eight games, they're allowing less than 10 points per game. If you didn't trot out the offense in any of those games, they'd be 4-3-1 right now. I don't know. Bill Belichick is a treat, and I will enjoy every last second of his coaching.
Bill Belichick is a treat. I've decided that as someone who wants to go into sports media, my all-time goal is to get shut down by Bill Belichick. I want to ask a really stupid question and have him give me one of those "you're dead to me" looks. Mm-hmm. That is my goal in life, is to get shut down by Bill Belichick, or get to a point where I can be shut down by Bill Belichick. My treat, you alluded to it, is the return of Aaron Rodgers. The return of true Aaron Rodgers, because I forgot how much I love Aaron Rodgers. If I had to pick a favorite player in the entire NFL that wasn't on the Broncos, I would pick Aaron Rodgers. And I might pick Aaron Rodgers over anyone on the Broncos, because he is just tremendously fun to watch. He was Patrick Mahomes before Patrick Mahomes. Mm. And I'm sorry, Jonders, I haven't watched the Seahawks game yet. But right now, I think Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL and has kind of surpassed Russell Wilson just by a smidge.
That's why I didn't want to bring him up because I think over the course of the year, Russell Wilson's been better. But over the course of the last month, Aaron Rodgers has been better. Aaron Rodgers has put together the best month so far. But over the course of the year, Russell Wilson's been better.
I think it's 1A Rodgers, 1B Wilson. I think
It's kind of like if you're picking the Pro Bowl team for September, you would take Patrick Mahomes over anybody else. And then if you'd pick it for October, you would take Aaron Rodgers over anybody else. But over that time, Russell Wilson's been the best. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, that is a fair point. That's a really interesting way of looking at it. But my treat is Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, for that matter, and the Packers. I like when the Packers are good. I know Kyle's going to hate that as a Vikings fan, but
I do.
I love when the Packers are good, and I think the number one thing I thought when I was watching that Monday Night Football game was, screw the Patriots, let's run this back in February. Wouldn't that just be perfect that for the 100th year it was a repeat of the first Super Bowl and we got Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl? That's what I want to see.
Kyle, give us your last treat and then we're going to get out of here. I have to record Battle in the Trenches in 15 minutes.
Yeah, so my last treat is the families of defense. And who I mean by that is the Watts and the Bosas. Would you believe it if I told you that both Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa have combined for 14 sacks, both with 7 apiece? J.J. Watt and T.J. Watt have combined for 10, both 6 and 4 for J.J. Watt, respectively. With J.J. Watt out for the season, unfortunate for the Texans' defense. But my treat has been just the consistency of those two families. And by the way, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong here, they are all products of Wisconsin Badgers football.
Oh, wow.
I thought the
Bosa's went to Ohio State.
You're right. The Bosa's are Ohio State.
But they're Big Ten. They're all Big Ten.
All Big Ten.
All Big Ten. in the Midwest. Big Ten football players there. So we got two from Ohio State and two from Wisconsin.
Here and not to mention Derek Watt plays fullback for the Chargers, who is on the same team as Joey Bosa. How about that? There's a Venn diagram there. Okay, these are my two quick thoughts before I turn it over to Eric if he wants to give some quick thoughts on this. Or you can go longer. I don't care. Here are my quick thoughts, though. One, T.J. Watt, when he threw a 300-pound man with a right fist jab and then got to that sack, I thought, like, yeah, T.J. Watt's going to be as good as J.J. Watt, and this is going to be fun to watch for the next 10 years. And then Nick Bosa, Eric has been pounding the table saying that Nick Bosa is the defensive player of the year, and I wasn't with him until about – two quarters or three quarters into that game against Carolina, when he's returning that, as he's returning that interception towards the goal line, that's when I became a believer. Nick Bosa for Defensive Player of the Year.
I want to focus on how much the J.J. Watt injury sucks.
Yep.
It just... He... It cannot be understated. J.J. Watt was Aaron Donald before Aaron Donald. He was the most dominant defensive player the league had seen since Lawrence Taylor for about the first 5 years of his career. And then he started getting these major injuries, and he was just returning to his prime form when this happens. And my question to you, Jonders, is J.J. Watt a Hall of Famer? Because
slam dunk, one first ballot. What are you talking about, dude? For three defensive players of the year? Are you kidding me?
He doesn't need a ring.
No. It's a slam dunk. No questions asked.
Does Gronk need a ring?
Gronk has a ring.
Would Gronk need a ring?
Yes.
No, he would argue. He is the best tight end of all time.
Did Tony Gonzalez need a ring?
Okay, that's a fair point. But I'm bummed out by the whole... I'm bummed out by the Texans in general, because they could have been so fun, but I think they are going to end up like a 9-7 team that gets blown out divisional round weekend.
Without Clowney, without Watt, all they got is... Whitney
Merciless has
now.
Played good this year, though.
No, I'm a fan of Merciless. I'm not
credit Whitney Merciless. He's played well this year. But that's all I got.
Do you have anything you want to get out? Because I am kind of rushing this at the end. But if you have any other points that you want to make, speak now or forever hold your peace.
No, other than that, going out of the Bosa's thing, if we're picking the game for Thursday night.
Oh yeah, let's. We gotta pick that. Hey Kyle, I won last week 2-0. Okay. And then now this week we have the 49ers facing the Arizona Cardinals. Let me get the line. I know it's minus 10. Yep. So the 49ers are 10-point road favorites in Arizona.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Niners cover here. Their defense is one of the best in the league right now, and they're only going to get better on offense.
I know I just sang Nick Bosa's praises, but I think the Cardinals will cover plus 10. I think Kyler Murray can get it going against this defense, and let's see if I'm wrong. Do you want to weigh in here, Eric?
Yeah, I don't understand the gambling terminology outside of over-unders, but it's got to be the Niners in this game. I think that
Eric, if you take the Niners score at the end of the game and subtract 10 from it, do you think they would still win?
The answer is yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I don't think so. I think it'll be within 10 points.
I think so, because I think the Cardinals' offensive line is going to be exposed for how truly terrible it is. They've kind of skated off playing teams with no pass rush over the last 4 weeks, and now they are playing arguably the best pass rush in the entire NFL, and poor Kyler Murray is going to get smoked.
He's shifty, though.
If you need an example of outcome, go look at the Saints game and how the Saints rushed against the Arizona Cardinals this weekend.
All right. Well, that was a fun podcast. Make sure you subscribe to
similar outcomes, similar game plans.
Make sure you subscribe to the End Zone Podcast wherever you get podcasts. Make sure you subscribe to Forward Pass Thinking wherever you get podcasts. Follow Eric Jensen at Eric18Utah. Follow the End Zone Podcast at End Zone Podcast. Follow me, Jonders FPT. Follow Kyle Windhorn at Kyle NFL. Is it just at Kyle? No, it's Kyle. It's at NFL Horn. Yeah, at NFL Horn. Check out Battle in the Trenches on YouTube. Climb the Pocket on YouTube. And go see my episode of DigiKiss on AdultSwim.com. All right, for Eric and Kyle, I've been Jonders. Get home safe. Bye, everybody.
Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout-out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.